Welcome to episode number 26 of Sean's Sports Show. Today we are coming at you live from the usual Los Angeles, California. And as per usual, we're going to be covering the breaking news and biggest stories inside the world of sports, as well as the news results and matchups of the pro sports teams in Los Angeles. For those of you that don't like tennis, I got good news for you. The Miami Open is officially over. I will obviously not be covering that anymore. Without further ado, let's get down to it. Oh, but before I get to it, I want to just mention that I'm doing a giveaway on social media for a $20 Amazon card. To enter the giveaway, you need to subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, and you also need to give it a review on iTunes as well. It doesn't matter how many stars you give, all reviews are appreciated, just like all feedback is appreciated. I also gave six people the opportunity to get three entries into the giveaway, and they basically did that by being the first six people to follow the steps to do it. And the other ways to get an additional entry into the or one entry into the giveaway is to follow me on SoundCloud, follow me on Twitter, or add me on Facebook. But you can only have a maximum of three entries. You can't have more than three, because then there would be an unfair advantage. But I'm not going to get into that. So again, back to this episode. The first thing we're going to be talking about is Shohei Ohtani's debut in the major leagues. So the Los Angeles Angels pitcher and designated hitter made his MLB pitching debut on Sunday, and he allowed three runs in six innings, and he left the game with the Angels leading the Oakland Athletics. The Angels won the game 7-4. He responded to a spotty spring training with an excellent first start, displaying his nasty stuff. He also struck out six batters and walked only one in the game. At times, he looked absolutely unhittable. But that didn't stop Matt Chapman from blasting a 3-1 home run against him in the bottom of the second inning. As Bob Nightingale of USA Today noted, Ohtani calmed down after the home run, retiring 14 of the last 15 batters that he faced. He made his MLB debut as a designated hitter on Thursday. And singling in his first at-bat, he ended up finishing 1-for-5. So personally, I think he should be focusing on pitching rather than hitting. He said, yeah. And after the game, his manager, Mike Siausia, reiterated after the game that the Angels firmly believe in his talent. He said, quote, "We know that Shohei, just like any player, is excited. But Shohei is well beyond his years. As for analyzing the game and going out there and understanding his talent, we're very comfortable that he's going to go out there and compete very well and hopefully help us win. I think the illusion might be he's taking things in stride, but he's very confident, and I don't know if you get a sense of how hard he's worked to get acclimated to baseball in the United States. I think he's done a great job, and we feel he's ready." Ohtani was then given Friday and Saturday off in anticipation of pitching on Sunday, and he certainly lived up to the hype in his first start. But it's worth noting that his slider, you know, remains a work in progress. But both his fastball and splitter looked fantastic, in my opinion. So that's that. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's proving the doubters wrong. So that's that. Now switching gears to boxing here. This is a pretty cool and big story. So WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder is ready to take on Anthony Joshua in a heavyweight unification fight this summer in the United Kingdom. Shelley Finkel, the Wilder's co-manager, confirmed this. In the wake of Joshua adding the WBO title to his IBF and WBA heavyweight belts by beating Joseph Parker in Cardiff, Wales on Saturday, Finkel said on Monday that the WBC champion Wilder is prepared to meet the Englishman, and it doesn't matter where the fight is held, according to Gareth A. Davies of The Telegraph. They said, quote, "We are really glad that Anthony Joshua said for the first time, I will fight Deontay next. And we believe he is a man of his word. Deontay accepts the challenge. We want to make it public that Deontay wants to fight, and we are prepared to come over or meet here and get the deal done. Deontay is ready to sign and come to the UK to fight this summer." Wilder, who's 32 years old, is open to accepting a 60-40 split for the fight purse, according to Davies. The two camps have also discussed the two-fight deal, the first of which will likely take place at London's Wembley Stadium before a return clash in Las Vegas or New York. And, according to Sky Sport, according to James Dylan of Sky Sports, Alexander Povetkin of Russia is the mandatory challenger to Joshua's WBA belt, and a bout between the pair is likely to be forced soon. However, Finkel believes a unification fight, which would obviously result in one fighter holding up all four major heavyweight belts for the first time in history, would trump any mandatory obligations. They also said, quote, we're ready, let's do it. And anyway, unification fights always trump mandatories. A unification between Wilder and Joshua would push the mandatories back. Assuming it will be Wembley Stadium in the summer, we are ready. And if they are ready, as they say they are, we want to get it done. We want the fight. They want the fight. The public wants the fight. There's nothing to stop it going ahead. Joshua's rise has, you know, breathed new life into the heavyweight division. Against Parker, he claimed his first ever decision after 20 consecutive knockout wins in his first 20 professional fights. The Alabama-born Deontay Wilder is also undefeated with 39 knockouts and one decision in 40 fights. Joshua, who's 28 years old, vowed to knock Wilder out after his defeat of Parker. The Olympic gold medalist now looks closer than ever to getting his chance, with the American having seemingly conceded to fight in England rather than the USA. So that's pretty big here. Now, a story in the NBA. This is honestly very shocking to me. But anyway, the Charlotte Hornets have reportedly offered their general manager position to former Los Angeles Lakers general manager Mitch Kupchak. This is according to Mark Stein of the New York Times. Per that report, the Hornets, quote, are confident they can soon seal a deal with Kupchak. And Rick Bonnell of the Charlotte Observer added that Kupchak to the Hornets is, quote, basically a done deal. Kupchak, who's 63 years old, was with the Lakers front office from 1986 to 2017. He started as an assistant general manager under Jerry West before taking over as the GM in 2000. The Lakers won two championships with Kupchak as the GM, though he was fired in February of 2017 after Magic Johnson took over as president of basketball operations. Former sports agent Rob Pelinka was hired to replace Kupchak. Kupchak's potential hiring comes after the Hornets fired general manager Rich Cho in February of this year. Cho, who's 52 years old, served as the Hornets GM since 2011, and that the Hornets have reached the postseason just twice in his tenure. Cho drafted Kemba Walker in 2011, though subsequent first-round picks such as Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Cody Zeller, Noah Vonleh, and Frank Kaminsky were not home runs by any stretch of the word. Additionally, the acquisition of Dwight Howard last offseason didn't propel the Hornets to the postseason. Rich worked tirelessly on behalf of our team and instituted a number of management tools that have benefited our organization. Owner Michael Jordan said in February per USA Today, we are deeply committed to our fans and to the city of Charlotte to provide a consistent winner on the court. The search will now begin for our next head coach or our next head of basketball operations who will help us to achieve that goal. Very interesting here. Now a story inside the world of football. East Tennessee State football coach Randy Sanders was suspended by the university after allegedly hitting defensive back Tyree Robinson during practice. Joe Avento of the Johnson City Press reported the news. Sanders allegedly hit Robinson during Friday's practice session, but he was allowed to conduct practice on Saturday. He's reportedly been suspended with pay pending, quote, an investigation of potential violation of university policy. So Sanders, who's 52 years old, was hired as East Tennessee's head coach last December. He previously served as Florida State's co-offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach from 2013 to 2017, and he's been an assistant at a Power 5 school his entire career. His hiring was seen as something of a potential stepping stone for East Tennessee into the class of the FCS. East Tennessee did not have a football program from 2004 to 2014, shuttering the team due to financial reasons. The school brought back football for the 2015 season, but they haven't posted a winning record since bringing the team back. The Buccaneers will not have a head coach or offensive coordinator for their spring game Thursday. Offensive coordinator Marcus Satterfield left the program for a job at Baylor. Now, this is a story right here that's pretty interesting. During an interview with Mike Parker of The Express, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson spoke about his mother's attempted suicide when he was 15 years old and the depression he's, quote, battled at points in his life. He said, quote, she got out of the car on Interstate 65 in Nashville and walked into oncoming traffic. Big rigs and cars were swerving out of the way. I grabbed her and pulled her back on the gravel shoulder of the road. What's crazy about that suicide attempt is that to this day, she has no recollection of it whatsoever. Probably best she doesn't. He also added, I reached a point where I didn't want to do a thing or go anywhere. I was crying constantly. Johnson also recounted several other moments in his life when he struggled, including when injuries ended his chance at an NFL career, only lasting 1 year in the Canadian Football League, and his girlfriend breaking up with him shortly thereafter. He said, quote, "That was my absolute worst time." And when a fan reached out to Johnson and revealed a struggle with depression, Johnson responded, quote, "I hear you. I've battled that beast more than once." Johnson's career obviously took a turn for the positive with his long stint in the WWE as The Rock and his subsequent acting career. And he also noted he's received positive responses for talking about his own struggles. Finally, he revealed that he and his mother have both since, quote, healed, but added, quote, "We've always got to do our best to pay attention when other people are in pain. We have to help them through it and remind them they are not alone." I'm happy that he's spreading a good message, and I definitely agree 100% with everything that Dwayne The Rock Johnson said. Now, story inside the world of golf. I don't think I've covered golf yet. But anyway, Tiger Woods and ex-girlfriend Christine Smith are reportedly embroiled in a legal battle over a non-disclosure agreement that she signed at the end of their relationship. According to TMZ Sports, Smith and Woods are currently in arbitration because Smith has tried to back out of the NDA. She says the agreement is not enforceable for an undisclosed reason. Woods began dating Smith in 2015, and the two ended their relationship last year. A source told TMZ that Woods has threatened to release, quote, "embarrassing pictures of Smith if she doesn't comply with the non-disclosure agreement." Smith reportedly believes Woods cheated on her during their relationship. The 14-time major winner divorced from Ellen Nordegren after having multiple, you know, other affairs, and several of the women came forward regarding the relationship with Woods. Non-disclosure agreements are not uncommon for athletes or celebrity relationships. In many cases, they are put into place so the other party in the relationship cannot publicly disparage or harm the celebrity's reputation in case of a breakup. Allegations of infidelity likely would bring Woods' past back into focus at a time when he's making another return to golf from back injuries. Woods reportedly paid Smith an undisclosed sum in exchange for her signing the NDA. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, he's getting back into golf after all the injuries. And another controversial story is, you know, has him in the middle. So now, story in the world of football. Former UCLA coach Jim Mora, who mentored Josh Rosen for each of his three seasons as a Bruin in UCLA, told Peter King of the MMQB he believes the star quarterback, quote, "needs to be challenged intellectually." He said, quote, "he needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial. He wants to know why. Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interests in life. If you can hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability, and he's a really good kid." Rosen is a first-round lock and is widely expected to be drafted in the top 10 later this month. He threw for 9,340 yards and 59 touchdowns against 26 interceptions in 3 years as a starter for Jim Mora, and he's arguably the most talented passer in the class. However, some NFL evaluators have questioned Rosen's passion for football and his ability to fit in a professional locker room due to his outspoken nature. Rosen has been open about his disdain for the NCAA. He discussed societal topics and clearly has interests outside the game of football, which is concerning to some, you know, NFL scouts, even though it shouldn't be, in my opinion. And when players do not necessarily display a borderline sociopathic devotion to football, sometimes it leads to questions about their, quote, passion in the pre-draft process, especially at quarterback, a position designed to lead a team. So, yeah. This is a story. I'm going to get into the results of the NCAA National Championship game, but this is a story that happened before in the morning today, before the game. The Philadelphia Police Department greased up light poles with various lubricants ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles' victory over the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52 to discourage celebrating fans from trying to climb them. With Villanova facing Michigan in the Men's Division I National Championship game on Monday, authorities around the university are taking the same approach. Quote, "I don't know what they're using, but some poor guy from Villanova has to smear it all over the place," Radnor Police Lieutenant Chris Flanagan told Stephanie Farr at Philly.com. "We just don't want anybody falling. That's the biggest problem. We want them to party like champions. Just follow common sense and you should be fine." So that's pretty funny. Now another story that has to do with Villanova. So I think that there's a good chance that Villanova is going to win the championship. That's all I got to say. Now, big story in the NFL here. Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean is reportedly, quote, trying like hell to continue moving up in this month's draft in hopes of selecting a franchise quarterback. Quote, Brandon is trying like hell to get up and get a quarterback, a general manager told Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports. I'm convinced he'll trade up twice more if he has to. It reminds me of Eagles general manager Howie Roseman a few years ago when he was moving up to land Carson Wentz. The Bills traded offensive tackle Cordy Glenn, their first-round pick at number 21, and a fifth-rounder, number 158, to the Cincinnati Bengals in exchange for the number 12 pick and sixth-round selection, number 187, earlier in this offseason. The move was seen as a precursor to another potential move up the draft board, given the Bills' stockpile of picks. Buffalo has two picks in each of the first three rounds, while its other first-rounder being the number 22 overall pick acquired from the Chiefs. The Bills signed A.J. McCarron to a two-year contract this offseason, but have maintained that will not preclude them from taking a QB in the draft. McCarron told reporters, quote, whether they're going to draft somebody or not, I just think it's a great opportunity to be able to compete and really showcase day in and day out what you're able to do. I try not to waste any mental thought on it. It's something I can't control, so there's no reason for me to put any thought into it. It creates mental clutter for my process day in and day out to be the best player I need to be. McCarron is seen as something of a bridge QB to the next starter. His situation is not all that dissimilar to the one with the Chicago Bears last offseason. Chicago signed Mike Glennon to be a starter before moving up and taking Mitchell Trubisky with the number 2 overall pick. Trubisky wound up replacing Glennon early in the season, and the Bears released him this offseason. I think it's a very similar situation. Now, story in the NCAA. Although Villanova and Michigan are, playing for the national championship, Duke opens as the odds-on favorite to win it all in 2019. Odds Shark provided the list of top odds for the next season. So Duke is on top at plus 600, then Villanova at plus 800, Kansas at plus 1,000, Kentucky at plus 1,000, UNC at plus 1,500, Gonzaga at plus 1,800, MSU at plus 1,800, Virginia at 1,800, Michigan at 2,000, Oregon at 2,500, Auburn at 3,500, UCLA at 3,500, West Virginia at 3,500, Florida at 5,000, Purdue at 5,000, and Tennessee at 5,000. This is according to Odds Shark. The Blue Devils, who lost 85-81 to Kansas in the Elite Eight, are 6-1 favorites, while Villanova comes in second at 8-1, coming into their game against Michigan tonight. It already happened, but I'll get into it soon. Rosters are still far from set, and the decisions of several key players could help shift the balance across college basketball. Marvin Bagley III already declared for the NBA draft, while Duke could also lose Wendell Carter Jr. and Gray Trent Jr., along with senior Grayson Allen. However, the reason there's so much excitement in Durham, North Carolina, is the incoming recruiting class. Per 247 Sports, Duke is set to bring in each of the top three players in the 2018 class in R.J. Barrett, Cameron Reddish, and Zion Williamson. Add in a five-star point guard in Trey Jones, and there will be enough talent to contend for a title regardless of who else is on the roster. Meanwhile, Villanova drop off too much based on the talent set to return. Mikal Bridges is likely headed to the NBA, and even AP Player of the Year Jalen Brunson could leave. But Dante DiVincenzo showed with an outstanding effort that he can carry the team if needed. So that's that. Now a story in the NBA that has to do with LeBron James. LeBron James' multimedia platform, Uninterrupted, reached out to the University of Alabama about a video that potentially infringes upon the quote, The Shop series copyright. Alabama recently previewed a, quote, Shop Talk series. But Uninterrupted has a very similar series called The Shop. Quote, your continued exploitation of Shop Talk infringes Uninterrupted's copyright trademark rights and other valuable intellectual property rights in The Shop, and significantly damages Uninterrupted's commercial prospects for The Shop and the company sent in a letter to Alabama. This is according to Dave McMenamin of ESPN.com. It added that it would rather discuss the matter with the university before, quote, rushing into legal proceedings. So that's that. Now another story that has to do with Josh Rosen. So UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen will play for the Cleveland Browns if they select him, despite some speculation he was hesitant to do so. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported Monday that Rosen is willing to play for whatever franchise drafts him. While that seems self-explanatory, nearly all selections play for the team that drafts them, happily or not,
Rosen is a bit of a unique case, and I covered that earlier. He raised eyebrows in December when he said he would rather find the right fit than be taken at the highest possible spot. He said, quote, "I think the teams know more than I do in the sense of where I fit best. I might be a bit of a unique personality, so hopefully they can pick me apart. And if a team really feels that I'm their guy, hopefully they'll go and get me." The Browns have taken the Browns have been a quarterback wasteland since returning to the NFL in 1999. They have drafted four signal callers in the first round during that period. And those include Tim Couch, Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon, and Johnny Manziel. And they've all since then been labeled busts. They've also used other draft picks, splurged on veterans and free agency, and done nearly everything short of moving the franchise again to find a star under center. Nothing has worked. So if Josh Rosen wants to avoid becoming the next in a long line of spectacular failures, it might make some sense. However, this appears to be much about nothing. The latest round of speculation came following an interview former Bruins head coach Jim Mora gave to Peter King, which I just talked about. None of this is, you know, especially surprising information. Rosen himself has said his personality is an acquired taste, and he's unwilling to keep quiet on issues he feels passionate about. He's spoken, you know, against the NCAA and all that stuff. Rosen wants a team to understand who he is and draft him to be himself. If that team is the Browns, he seems more than willing to make it work in Cleveland. Now, a big story here in the NBA. The Golden State Warriors are no longer the sole favorites to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy in 2018. As Odd Shark shared on Twitter, the Houston Rockets and defending champions now both feature plus 120 odds. You bet $100 to win 120 to take home the title heading into the final stretch of the regular season. Houston boasts the best record in the NBA at 62-15, and they've already clinched the number one seed in the Western Conference, which ensures that James Harden and his teammates would have home court advantage in a potential postseason showdown with Golden State. There are plenty of reasons, you know, to like the Rockets, even when they stack up against the Warriors. They won two of the three season head-to-head showdowns, and they have a sparkling 32-6 home record in the 2017-18 season. Golden State would have to beat them at least once at the Toyota Center and then take care of business at Oracle Arena to advance in the series, and Houston has been particularly stingy in front of its own fans. Houston is also top of the league in offensive rating and 7th in defensive rating per NBA.com and can win contests on both ends of the floor even if shots aren't falling. The presence of Chris Paul also takes some of the burden off James Harden's shoulders, as both are capable of running the show with their three-point shooting, ability to penetrate and finish at the rim, and their tendency to kick it out, you know, to a variety of shooters. As for Golden State, you know, as I covered multiple times, Stephen Curry is nursing a grade 2 MCL sprain. Andre Iguodala is dealing with knee soreness, and Patrick McCaw was stretchered off the court in a win over the Sacramento Kings on Saturday. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson have also all missed time with injuries, while the team has struggled to remain healthy as a unit. The Warriors still have the experience with three straight trips to the NBA Finals and two championships in that span, but the odds reflect the fact that it's no longer a conclusion that they'll win the title again. And I definitely agree with that. Now we're going to be covering the results of the NCAA Men's Tournament Final. The Villanova Wildcats are the national champions for the second time in 3 years. Villanova defeated the Michigan Wolverines 79-62 on Monday in a title game of the 2018 Men's NCAA Tournament in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. The victory gave the Big East representatives its third national championship in program history. Dante DiVincenzo led the way for Villanova with 31 points, five rebounds, and three assists. On 10 of 15 shooting from the field and 5 of 7 shooting from deep, helping extend the Big Ten stretch of title game losses in the process. Michigan's loss dropped the conference to 0-7 in national championship games since the Michigan Spartans prevailed in 2000. The Wolverines' 2013 loss to the Louisville Cardinals is included in that total, and they once again missed an opportunity to win their first title since 1989. DiVincenzo was definitely too much for the Big Ten school, and he scored the most points in a national title game since Seton Hall's John Morton scored 35 in 1989 against Michigan as well. This is according to Pat Ford of Yahoo Sports. Even without DiVincenzo's, you know, torrid pace, it was always going to be a challenge for Michigan to deal with. College basketball's three-point shooting answer, you know, equivalent to the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors. Villanova already set the record for the most threes in a single season and drilled the Final Four record 18 shots against Kansas, as I covered earlier. To Michigan's credit, its defense had an early answer and built a 21-14 lead before DiVincenzo went into takeover mode. The third best defense in the country by Ken Pomeroy's pace-adjusted metrics swarmed the shooters from the start and held Villanova starters to 1 of 9 from beyond the arc in the first half. Still, DiVincenzo swung the game with an offensive spark off the bench when his teammates couldn't find the basket. He poured in 18 first-half points and led Villanova to a 37-28 lead at the half by draining three three-pointers and attacking the basket whenever Michigan challenged him. He definitely stole the show, and his emergence caused Michigan a golden opportunity to seize the advantage when the typically unstoppable Villanova starters went cold. It was only a matter of time before the likes of Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, and Amari Spellman started tallying offensive numbers. And the Big East representative wasted little time pulling away after halftime. So that's that. Congrats to Villanova. And that's all we have for the breaking news in sports. Now we're going to be covering the professional sports teams in Los Angeles, starting with the usual Los Angeles Lakers. They did not play today. They play tomorrow at 6 p.m. against the Utah Jazz in Utah. It's going to be at 6 p.m. on Spectrum Sportsnet locally. Now the other professional sports team in Los Angeles, or the basketball team in Los Angeles, the LA Clippers play tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. in LA against the San Antonio Spurs. Big game for both teams. It'll be broadcasted locally on Prime Ticket and nationally on TNT. Now the LA Kings, they play today. It was a huge win for them. Most important game of the season. They beat the Colorado Avalanche by a score of 3-1. They improved to 44-28-8, and the Avalanche fall to 42-29-9. So the Kings won by a score of 3-1, and they improved to third in the Pacific Division. Them and the Ducks are going back and forth, and so now the Kings have a 1-point lead over the Ducks, but the Kings have played one more game than the Ducks. But in the Pacific Division, Vegas, is firmly ahead. They're 11 points ahead of the Kings, and they're 9 points ahead of the San Jose Sharks. But actually, the Kings are only 2 points behind the San Jose Sharks, who not too long ago were red hot, winning 8 straight games. But since then, they've lost 3 straight. And so the Kings, with the win and San Jose's loss, they'll be in second place in the in the Pacific Division. But the Golden Knights of Vegas, they're 5-3-2 in their last 10. San Jose 7-2-1. The Kings are 6-2-2, and the Ducks are 7-2-1. So it's very tight. So now the Kings' next game is Thursday, April 5th, against the Minnesota Wild in LA, 7:30 p.m., broadcasted locally on Fox Sports West. And now taking a look at the Anaheim Ducks. Their next game is also against the Minnesota Wild, but it's on Wednesday, April 4th. In Anaheim against on Prime Ticket. It's at 7 p.m. Hopefully Minnesota wins that one. Now transitioning to the baseball teams of Los Angeles, starting with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Currently, they're playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. As of 11:35 p.m. on Monday, it's 6-6 in the top of the 13th inning. The Dodgers blew leads all game long. They were up 3-0. They were up 6-3. They were up 6-3 in the ninth inning. Kenley Jansen, the Dodgers' star closer, was closing it out, and he gave up a 3-run home run to send it to extra innings. And, a few innings later, we're in the top of the 13th, still tied at 6. Hopefully the Dodgers pull this one out. It'll be a tough loss if they lose it. Their next game after this one is tomorrow at 6:40 p.m. against the same Arizona Diamondbacks, broadcasted on Sportsnet LA and Fox Sports Arizona. Now taking a look at the standings in the NOS of the MLB. Diamondbacks are on top with a record of 2-1. Then the Rockies, Giants, and Dodgers are at 2-2. And then finally the Padres are at 0-4. So that's that. The Dodgers, the Dodgers would be first in the NL West if they, squeeze out a victory against Arizona today. Now the other MLB team in LA, the Los Angeles Angels, they got shut out in their home opener by a score of 6-0 against the Cleveland Indians. The Cleveland Indians improved to 2-2, and the Angels fall to 3-2. The Angels' next game is tomorrow at 7:07 p.m. against the Cleveland Indians, broadcasted locally on Fox Sports West and nationally on ESPN. So that's that. And now finally, the MLS teams of Los Angeles. Starting with the LA Galaxy. Their next game is Sunday, April 8th against Sporting Kansas City. It's going to be broadcasted locally on Spectrum Sportsnet, I believe, and nationally on Fox Sports 1. It's at 6 p.m. on Sunday, April 8th. And now LAFC, the team that nobody cares about. I kid. At least I don't care about them. That's what matters. And they play Saturday, April 7th at 2 p.m. against Atlanta United. So that's that. And that's all we have for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to enter my $20 Amazon card raffle by subscribing to my podcast on iTunes and leaving a review there. You don't need to write anything. Just give a review out of 5 stars. And you can get additional entries by following me on Twitter, adding me on Facebook, or following me on SoundCloud. You can have a maximum of 3 entries. And following me on SoundCloud gets you, 2 entries. Following on Twitter and Facebook is 1 respectively, and doing the thing, subscribing and reviewing on iTunes gives you 1 entry as well. So again, thank you guys for listening. That's all we have for episode number 26. I appreciate you all. All feedback is appreciated. We out.